Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine, part two for this December 14th, 2022. It is 10:34 on the clock, and you have your host, James, here. And we are joined now by our friends from Encourage, and they brought some other friends in. First, I want to welcome in Kim Shields from Encourage. Good to see you, Kim.
Great to see you. Thank you.
Always nice to have you in studio. Thanks for being here today.
Absolutely.
And appreciate you traveling here through this weather and everything. Thank you for that. And thank you for bringing some friends. We got some good people with us here today. We have friends of ours from the Wood County Health Department. We have Julia Barris with us. Good morning, Julia. Nice to have you here.
Good morning.
And thanks. Good to meet you. Nice to meet you, too. And Jacob Wagner. Jacob's joined us before. Good to see you, Jacob.
Good to see you, James.
Thanks a lot for being here, you guys. Looking forward to catching up with you, too. But before we do that, do want to thank both of you, your whole staff, everybody over there at the Wood County Health Department. We greatly appreciate the work that you guys are doing and have been doing really for years and decades. But just specifically over the last couple of years, greatly appreciate the work that you guys and the whole staff over there are doing. Appreciate it. Kim, I know you had some things that you wanted to touch on with Encourage first, so we can start right there.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. So December 14th is a very important day for Encourage. Today is the day that we celebrate and remember Virginia Brazzo. Mm-hmm. She was the founder of Encourage, and it's her visionary leadership that created our organization. Mm-hmm. What's really interesting is that everybody has a different definition of philanthropy. Mm-hmm. It really is love of humanity. And I really love Virginia's definition. And, you know, her vision for philanthropy was philanthropy by the people, for the people, with the people. Mm. And so it really is, you know, sharing responsibility, taking ownership of our community for the greater good and for the changing needs of our community. And so the work we do at Encourage is really to help address those changing needs of the community. And, you know, our vision is a vision that works well for all people. So it really ties it in, and it's all attributed back to Virginia. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are just so thankful. And her favorite flower was a peach rose. And so on our Facebook page today and our Insta page, we have the peach rose with a, you know, remembering Virginia. We are just so blessed with her thoughtful vision and leadership back in 94.
Got the whole ball rolling. You think about what Encourage has done in that time and the impact they have made on the community. And we just don't know if that happens without her getting the ball rolling there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I brought in this little frame we have. This is all around the office and on our desks, and I've had this for over 10 years. Mm. Take care of yourself, take care of each other, and take care of this place.
That
is philanthropy. Mm-hmm. That is Encourage. That's summed up in a nutshell. We work for the better of the community, for all of the residents, everybody, for all of the organizations here, like the Wood County Health Department and so many incredible organizations. And we're just very thankful.
Yeah.
And lucky to do what we do, quite frankly.
I can't imagine how proud she'd be.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I got to think, seeing not just their community react this way and the people, but the individual ideas, the things that have gotten going from community members reaching out. And I would say the way that you guys use the time, like for a show like this, where we could sit and talk Encourage for 20 some minutes.
Sure.
Every time you guys join us, you guys choose to bring on guests like this and everything. And I find that is giving in itself as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cool.
It's important to help raise awareness of different topics that are going on in our community, ways, great work that organizations are doing, how people are taking care of others. So thank you for that. Appreciate it.
It's a greatly mutual beneficial thing.
For sure. Yeah, so with that, scholarships, actually, a lot of people know Encourage for scholarships, and that's kind of my baby, but our online scholarship application launches tomorrow, December 15th. The application is open for 6 weeks.
So
students, people that are going, graduating high school, seniors, people that are already in college or technical school, or for those people that have been in the workforce and want to go back to school, as a non-traditional student, please take a look. There are There are so many. We have over 100 funds. There's over 180 scholarships that are available to award this year. And, you know, so many great opportunities. So please take a look at that.
And it feels like every year, Kim, when we talk about this, we have to remind people that they're out there.
Right.
So many of these scholarships, I don't think a lot of people understand or know that they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage people to reach out to you guys if you're, hey, do you have a scholarship for this? Or would I apply or my child apply with this or what have you? Can't hurt to reach out.
Right. And we actually have a catalog on our website on encouragecf.org for students. And if you click on that catalog, it shows all of the scholarships that are offered. It includes a story about the donor, why it was established, and the criteria. So, you know, all the information is right there on their fingertips. And the students are so used to computers mm-hmm. and working online.
Yeah.
So, you know, it should be pretty simple for them to check it out.
And it is a really cool thing that you guys have that there, too, that you get the history and a little bit of that too, mm-hmm. about the donors and as well. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. One other thing I'd like to share is, you know, you had mentioned how people have ideas. And there was a resident in our community that had, you know, an idea. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's part of a bigger dream. But the idea in the current state was to bring reindeer into our community.
Mm.
And so Santa and a couple of his reindeer will be at the Ridges tomorrow.
Get up.
Yep, December 15th.
That is a get right there.
Exactly.
This time of year you were able
yes,
to... Damn,
yes,
that's a get. Nicely
yes,
done.
He's quite incredible. He's been able to collaborate, connect with so many other people, organizations, and it all came together really, really quickly.
Cool.
As I said, it's part of a bigger dream, which, you know, can't quite share yet, but that's a mm-hmm. little bit of a teaser. So stop by the Ridges tomorrow, and it begins at like 4:35. So
the audience at home cannot see this, but Kim is chomping at the bit to say what this is. You did a good job hanging on. Keep it down, Kim. You're doing a good job. Hold it secret.
Thank you.
It's good. We'll find out though.
We'll find out.
That's a very cool, really yes. cool idea. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if I could kind of swing back to, you know, the organizations that do great work in our community, mm-hmm. and tying it into, you know, love of philanthropy and taking care of each other. One of the organizations doing such great work is the Wood County Health Department. We are so thankful for their dedication, their commitment to taking care of this place, the community, and all the residents. And I'm super excited that they were able to join us today.
Really do appreciate you guys joining us. Nice setup there, Kim, by the way. Don't take my job. And that would work fine if you guys want to share. Use those mics. Thanks, Kim. Good idea. We have with us Julia Barris and Jacob Wagner from the Wood County Health Department. And wanted to talk about a recent ordinance that passed and kind of dive into that. So the recent ordinance that passed around hemp-derived cannabinoids in Wood County. So the floor is all your guys'. Where do you want to start with this? This is a big topic. There's a lot of different angles we can take on.
Well, I think just to clarify what a hemp-derived cannabinoid is. So a hemp-derived cannabinoid, you probably see it as Delta 8. It's when someone takes CBD, basically the hemp plant has very, very little THC in it. And the federal hemp bill was passed to help hemp farmers to sell hemp products. There was a lot of restrictions in place for hemp before this bill was passed. So this bill was brought about to help hemp farmers to increase their production, their sale. And someone found a way to manipulate it and break down the hemp plant to get that tiny trace of THC. It's a chemical process. Usually someone does it by buying CBD and then breaking it down with a solvent. So what a hemp-derived cannabinoid basically is that somebody uses a solvent to break down hemp to get a THC extract from it. But there is no restrictions in place for this process. It contains a lot of unknown chemicals. And so we did a scan. The THC committee for one of our community teams here did a scan of establishments that were selling these products. And we just noticed there was no restrictions in place. One of the big ones was that there was no age restriction on mm-hmm. these products. So the committee worked with the county attorney and the schools and the law enforcement and the healthcare to create an ordinance that restricted the age of sale of these products to 21. So I think another huge thing to talk about is the effect that this has on the youth. There was no age restriction in place, so there already is access to these products, but
yeah
go ahead.
I think, well, I was just going to say, I think understanding why that age is set at 21, not 18, not at 16, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. And we were actually just talking to high schools about this, which is that the reason why it is set to 21 is because of that developing mind, where I think a lot of people think, oh, they just throw that number out there. The reason why it's 21 for alcohol, the reason why we switched to 21 for tobacco, the reason why in states where THC is legal, it's 21, is because the research to show what those effects have on a developing mind, the neurological decline that happens, the depression that develops over time, the suicidal ideation, the poor school performance, all these things develop when someone uses a substance at a much younger age. Not to mention, if someone uses under the age of 21, their chances of developing a substance use disorder are much more likely over time. So we had the privilege of talking to the high school last week, and that's why I wanted to bring Julia on, because she had a chance to kind of talk with some of the youth about the product. And I wanted her to share just kind of what that input that she got from the youth when talking to them during that training the other week.
Yeah, how did that go, Julia?
Yeah, so it was really successful, and just kind of asking them questions in the sense of, can you guys access, like, get Delta 8? Can you guys get a vape? And all of them right away shook their head, yes, we know where to get it, where we can get it, which I think is really worrying in the sense that it's 21 or older, and obviously high school students are under 21.
Do you feel that, and obviously it's you can't go case by case every single student, but when you're talking to them, do you feel that they're getting the gist of this, of why that we're asking them not to do these things, why we have a law here in place for them not to do these things at this point?
I think it just comes across as like big government kind of telling people what to do, and it's really not the case. And I personally got into this work to help people live a long life, and so that's why I always approach it from the standpoint of, you know, this isn't some healthy medication. This is a, you know, a chemical that's created in someone's basement, has no restrictions. There's a high percentage of unknown in this that you shouldn't be ingesting or inhaling. You know, this is not even a Delta 9 THC. So these aren't even the products, you know, in the places with legal THC, the restrictions that are in place are very high. You know, this is, it's a clean product. So despite your views on THC, this is not that. This is something that's created in someone's basement with no restrictions, that is being sold with not any age restriction. And so, and we realize that youth are able to access this. So we're on here talking about this ordinance to educate establishments to talk about this, because to hear that youth are still able to access it, you know that a lot of these establishments don't know about the ordinance. And maybe even some of our own municipalities may not know about this ordinance. So we're in here to talk about this ordinance. It was passed on August 23rd of 2022, and the health department's really been working to try to educate establishments and municipalities about this ordinance and about, you know, adopting it and making sure that's being enforced. And to the establishments out there, to the retailers, just to understand the importance, just the health effects that substances do have on a young mind. The same way the establishment wouldn't want to sell tobacco or alcohol to a youth, they should feel the exact same way about these Delta 8 products, the HHC, really any of the hemp-derived products, because of the effect that it has on youth and just the sense that those teenage years are those kind of experimental phases.
Thankfully, just by telling them not to do this, they'll listen and they won't ever do any of these things. No, obviously, teenagers, kids, you tell them not to do something, what is the first thing they're going to do? They're probably going to do it. They're probably going to try it, or at least see if they can. But how do you stop that? Well, people have been trying to figure that out for over 100 years, how to stop teenagers from doing these things and stuff. One of the things you can do, because we can't be with them every second, obviously, and we can't be in control of them or their minds, but we can give them information. We can certainly prepare them with information of, hey, why you shouldn't be doing these things. And not just because we say so, not just because it's a law, but hey, this is the health effects. This is what literally will happen to your brain. This is what will happen to your body. This is how it'll affect you. There's a time and place for everything, and it's college. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I'm trying to lighten the mood. It's a topic. It's in a situation that I know there's a lot of gray area for people. And for many people out there, they grew up for, you know, in a time where anytime anything involving marijuana or anything under that umbrella came up, oh, Cheech and Chong, oh, it's this, it's all these things and stuff. And I'd like to think that most people understand that nowadays there are a whole, it's a whole different world. The world was always there, but now we see it with the legalization of many of these things, not only the health benefits it can have for cancer patients, for people dealing with dementia, for so many different things that this plant can help with. But notice those things I mentioned there. Those are older diseases, tend to be at least. They tend to affect the body more in your, as you get older. It is scientifically proven that any benefits that this can have, whether it's CBD or cannabis, tends to be for people in their upper ages, 30 and above, that kind of thing. We're finding out more and more about these things. But one, it's interesting to have you guys in today when we just had Family Natural Foods. And one of the things Katrine and Steve and I were talking about is how they are able to take this element of this one thing and dissect it and just take out this one little, the high point of this thing and be able to take it out and make this essential oil smell just like that one thing. Science is amazing. And the way science has been able to do this, it's very similar to, well, how we fight diseases. Every disease, every vaccine has a little bit of the flu and a little bit of this in it and everything, and that's how we kill that disease. They're being able to do something very similar with hemp and being able to take out the THC, get that out of there. We don't need that, but we need these other health products that this can do. And I've seen this. I when I was out in California, when a lot of this stuff first started getting into law and everything, I saw in these stores, I didn't see Cheech and Chong. I didn't see a bunch of kids that were younger than me trying to get in there and see what they could get. I saw people a lot older than the four of us in this room. I saw, that's all I ever saw. I saw a couple of people around my age, but the majority of people going to those shops were people looking to help with pain, people looking to help with needing hunger because they have no appetite, some of these things. It has so many benefits to it that far outweigh the negatives if we handle this right as a society. That's where it comes on each one of us to make sure that we're not letting this get in the kids' hands. We've done a pretty good job with certain things about this. We have laws in place with certain things. We're new to this. It's going to take time. It took time to get people to wear seatbelts. It took time for people to realize that, oh, this age can't own a weapon, or this age can't drink, or this age can't vote or go fight for us, or any of these things. All that stuff took time. This is going to take time as well.
And that's kind of the struggle that we have, is there's that narrative painted with THC that not only is this not bad for you, but it's good for you. So for youth to experiment or kind of take that first high with it, it's a lot easier. And so if you put that in a gummy that tastes like a nerd's rope, or you put that in a vape that tastes like strawberry bananas, and then you say, hey, not only is this not bad for you, this is not a cigarette, you know, this is actually good for you, you know, look at all these health benefits, it makes it even harder for us to convince somebody not to do that. Where it's like the same thing with like a pain reliever or something like that. If you say, well, it's got these health benefits, but at the same time, someone's using it to experiment or do these things with, then it creates that struggle for us where we're trying to create that barrier where somebody understands the harm, the side effects, especially on developing mind.
So what do you say then, Jacob, when a student or a young person asks, well, then why is this stuff legal? If it's helping people and everything, then why would it be legal? It's a balance that you got to be able to walk there of like, hey, this isn't necessarily good for you right now at this age, but it is beneficial for people at a certain age. You have to, how do you walk that balance? Is it just kind of like sticking with the age thing? Like, hey, you're too young for this, that kind of thing. And giving them the facts and the science behind why it is bad for them. Is that kind of the process of this?
Yeah. And that's something we've had to deal with a lot because when approaching this, there's so many different arguments around it. So we have to think about that kind of sound argument, which is that where's the research, where's the facts, and all of the research, even big, you know, THC, even the people making money on it, won't touch trying to sell it to someone under 21 because there's just so much evidence that points to the harms of it under 21. You know, they can try to spin the narrative for someone over 21, someone with health effects, someone that's trying to benefit from it. But when you're under that age of 21, I mean, really, the health department would like to limit it to 25, but we know that would never work because just the way that the brain is developing. Anything that you introduce in your environment into your body, your brain, your body adapts to have that constantly over and over again. It kind of assumes that that's part of it. So if a teen's using this to get high or to cope with something, then all of a sudden that becomes something that they have to lean on and becomes a problem later in life. Not to mention as your brain's developing, getting to that point, it kind of tells itself, oh, well, this is just something that we're going to, you know, have in our life, and it has to kind of develop to deal with that. And then it creates all sorts of complications for them when they're older, including, which is what we want to prevent, substance use disorder, or probably what the public would commonly call addiction.
So how do you do that without scaring them? Because trying to just scare them into, you know, staying in line, that doesn't work. They tried that with my generation with the war on the quote on war on drugs and everything, and all it did was create more addicts. So how do you walk that balance of, okay, we're trying to freak you out a little bit here, but we're also not trying to necessarily scare the daylights out of you. We just want you to know these things.
And we talk with teens. We call it positive alternatives in the sense that, you know, wouldn't you rather this than that? Wouldn't you rather live a long, healthy life? Wouldn't you rather, you know, have high performance in school? And it's always kind of saying, this is the better way to go. This is the more positive way to go. This is the way to live. And when we talk with teens, they say it's a hit or miss. And sometimes they want that kind of, you know, they want to see the consequences of using. They want to see it. But I think we went a little too extreme in the past where it was almost like a joke. Kind of like Reefer Madness in the sense that a kid could sense that it was just a lie. Yeah. And so I think to approach it and say, here's the facts, here's what happens, you know, do with that what you will, we're trying to protect you. And I think that's the way that we approach it, is just kind of hands off, how can we help? What information can we provide, and not trying to really force it down people's throats?
And I feel, I know for a fact, at least when I was a kid and many of my friends, that's the stuff that we responded to. It's not when you talk down to these kids. It's not when you yell at them or try to scare them into submission or something like that. When you talk to them, strangely enough, like they're a human being. It's weird. It's weird, you guys. But if you treat them like a human being, if you talk to them like they're a rational human being, chances are they are going to hear you. They are going to be able to do that. Because, again, whether we're talking about the benefits that this can, any of these things can have for people in pain, or whether we're talking about our farmers and our ag industry and what this is doing for that and the economic impact this has, look at what Colorado has gone through. Look at other states. It's you're either getting on this train or it's passing you by. So when we think about those things, I can't think of one representative I haven't talked to who hasn't mentioned our ag industry hurting right now or needing farmers or people in that industry. This is part of the reason why Wisconsin is getting on this, is looking into this world. All those things are great, but it means nothing if one child is taking this stuff and hurt from it. All that stuff means nothing if that happens. So it's important for us to make sure that we prevent that as much as humanly possible. And that's where information comes in. And our Wood County Health Department is amazing and really good at what they do. They are also only about 10, 20-some people. They can't be everywhere all at once. We're getting this information out there, and we're encouraging other people to not only do your homework on this, but to spread the word about these things and the facts of these things. It's really important, and you never know who's listening. Is there anything else that we can touch on with this subject? Maybe explaining, you know, why it or why it is, you know, being put into play, why it's you know, made a law for it and everything, why we're able to use it, those kind of things, Jacob.
Yeah, really, just trying to reduce that youth access. So we know that, you know, youth are crafty, you know, and they're going to find a way to get it regardless. But to have that barrier for someone to walk into a gas station and not just have it accessible to them, to not have it on the counter, to not have an age restriction, to have those signs that say we ID, it's just these small barriers that prevent someone from experimenting for the first time. For providing for someone else to experiment, someone that may be seeking for a dependency. We're trying to create these barriers where somebody is not able to just walk down the street after school and grab one of these, that those conversations do take place between them and their parents, and that we can get these information out there to the establishments and to these teens about the harms of this.
When I was in football, I just loved playing so darn much, and I had tore my ACL, my MCL, I fractured my ankle, but I wanted to still go out there. I wanted to still play. I mean, I could barely move on it, but I felt like I could still catch a ball and everything like that. But the coach, like, you can't go out there like that. You're a liability. You can't go out there. He protected me from myself. I was too young to understand better. He protected me from myself. That is part of what we're doing here with this. It shouldn't be on them to just be making this decision. They have support with that decision. We all know what peer pressure can do. When they have the support system of family, friends, those things, that peer pressure means nothing when it's combated with that. So all these things add up to hopefully them being that much more knowledgeable and making right decisions with their life in these early days. I didn't. I'm sorry, Julia. I thought you were going to say something. That's all right. I wanted to mention just two stats really quick here because you brought this over and I thought they were really good. As far as why we're trying to restrict youth access, 34% of 12th grade students reported ever using marijuana. Way too high. Way too high. 61% of high school students feel it is not wrong or slightly wrong to use marijuana once or twice per week, which again, the scary part of that to me is those developing minds. And I did some homework before the interview, you guys. Children are the future. It turns out they are going to be running things one day. So here's another reason why we need to keep these things out of their hands. We kind of want them to have the full functioning brain, you know, as they're running companies and in our world and everything. And just as importantly as all this is understanding, I think, we can't ask them to do something if we are not doing it ourselves. Kids know better. They see between the lines of that stuff. So when you are using products, when you're using things, whatever, your age, that's a great thing and stuff to keep in mind. But making sure that kids understand these products, why you're using something like that and what you're using it for specifically and why they shouldn't use it. And again, the literal scientific physical effects it can have on their brain and their bodies. I think that goes a long ways. I can't thank you guys enough for the conversation today and the fun, open conversation. Really appreciate the notes early on from Encourage Cam. That was great. That was really nice to hear that. Thank you both. And again, one more time, big shout out to our friends at the Wood County Health Department. You guys stay safe and strong out there and appreciate the work you're doing. We'll come back with more Morning Magazine tomorrow right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.